Hi there. If you are a born-again believer, then you should know that you do not have any sin in your life. James, how can you say that? How can someone actually state that there is no sin in the life of a born-again believer? Well, Colossians 3:4 says that since Jesus Christ was born into your heart at the new birth experience, then he became your life. When God looks at you, he does not look upon your life in the flesh, because Romans 7:25 says that your fleshly nature serves the law of sin. But when the Father God looks at you, he looks at your new life. It's the life of Christ in you, your hope of glory. Jesus Christ, when he was upon the earth, he said, I am the way unto God, I am the truth of God, and I am the eternal life you need. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If Jesus Christ is not your life, then you have no part or parcel in the kingdom of heaven. I repeat, if Jesus Christ is not your life, then you have no part in the kingdom of heaven. Because the only life which has eternal life is the life of Christ Jesus. And if you are not trusting and depending upon that life to get you into heaven, then you are damned for a devil's hell. Because any other life outside of the life of Christ is not life. It's death. It's dead. The only eternal life that is given comes from the life giver. And the only one who can give life proclaims himself as life itself. He is Christ Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life we must have in order to have eternal life, because he is the eternal one since God raised him from the dead. His is the only life upon this earth which has no sin in it. There is sin in our fleshly nature, but we are no longer in the flesh. Though the flesh inhabits our physical body, we are no longer a part of the flesh, but we're in the spirit because Christ dwells in us, according to Romans 8:9. The only reason why you are in the spirit is not because you do spiritual things according to your carnal mind. It's not because people pat you on the back for being such a great person or having such a wonderful personality or being able to love your neighbor as you do yourself. None of these things qualify you for being in the spirit. You are in the spirit by only one reason according to the word of God, and that's the only measurement that counts. The only reason and the only qualification of you being in the spirit is if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. Because the Spirit of Christ that dwells in us is the very life of Christ in us. The Bible says in Romans 8:10 that if any man has not the Spirit of Christ in him, then he is not God's. The only eternally holy life you have is the life of Christ in you. He's the Holy One. He is the only claim to holiness that you have to make yourself acceptable into the kingdom of heaven. We have no holiness in our flesh. We have no holiness in our behavior according to God, because the psalmist said in one of the books of Psalms that every man, that includes you, me, anybody, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And vanity means worthless. This is at your best. Not when you're doing mediocre. This is at your best. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity, walking in a vain show. That's how we are at our best state. If you are the best man ever to walk the face of the earth, God looks at you and says that you are walking in a vain show, and you are altogether vanity, worthless. So the only precious price that we have bestowed upon us is a price that God paid when he gave his only begotten son to die the death which was ours. When Jesus Christ was on that cross, he was suffering the death which rightfully should have been ours. And it was because of the high price he paid. The price was the shedding of the blood of his son to cover our iniquities and sins. Because of that price, we are valuable unto God once we accept that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again. Once you do that, then the new birth occurs, and that's not you going through some transformation. The new birth is when Jesus Christ is born into your hearts by faith. And once he's born into your hearts by faith, there is not a rapid change in your personality, because he's born in there as a babe. You are a spiritual babe in Christ the day that you have become born again. And he's now the new man in your heart. And he feeds upon the Word of God. He feeds upon the faith that God's Word breeds in you. He lives by faith. He walks by faith. This is a new creation in you. He's joined into your soul. The Bible says that whosoever is born of God does not commit sin and cannot commit sin because he is born of God. The only person of your being which is born of God and therefore cannot commit sin and therefore does not commit sin, the only part of you that does not and cannot commit sin, not a question of if this part of you will sin or won't sin, the only part of you, the born-again believer, which cannot commit sin, is Jesus Christ in you, your hope of glory. Without him in you, you have no hope. Without him in you, even at your best state, God considers you worthless. The only worth we have in the kingdom of God is Christ in us. He is the new man which we should be building up and growing in grace. We have also another nature in us. It's called the flesh. The Bible says, of this nature, there is no good thing in it. This nature in us, it serves the law of sin. This nature in us, it lusts to do evil. This nature in us, it wars against the very Christ in us. It wars against our holiness, which is Christ in us. It wars against our righteousness, because Christ has been made unto us both righteousness, wisdom, and sanctification. This nature, which inhabits our own physical body, it wars against the Christ in us. Our fleshly nature, what we really are in the natural, your true colors, wars against Jesus Christ in you. The only thing that can recommend you unto God, your own fleshly nature wars against it. And it won't war against it till Christ becomes real, real strong. It will war against it until you close your eyes in death or until the rapture occurs. The Bible says of the flesh, Jesus Christ said it, that which is born of the flesh remains flesh. And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. This fleshly nature that you still have inside of you, even after the new birth, the Bible says it has works. It has works. The works of the flesh manifested are these: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. And Paul said, of the which I tell you now, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. If you are honest with yourself, and honest as you read the scriptures, you know that if that was to be taken in the natural, not one person upon this earth has a chance for eternal life. Because our fleshly nature, even after we have experienced the new birth, which is Christ being born into our hearts, it still serves sin. And mind you, your fleshly nature, it cannot do righteous. The fleshly nature, which inhabits every body of a human being upon this earth, this fleshly nature, the Bible says in Romans 7:25, it serves the law of sin. It serves it. And you know what? It serves it willfully. Your fleshly nature, I don't care how good you act, I don't care how people may praise you and laud you and give you great acclaim, your fleshly nature, which you still have in your body, you might be able to lie to everybody else, but you cannot lie to those who know the Word of God. Your fleshly nature still serves the law of sin, even though you may not ever act upon it in the natural. I repeat, your fleshly nature still serves the law of sin willfully, even though you may never act upon its impulses in the natural. And the Bible says if you've done it in your heart, you've done it. And you're guilty. And the Bible says if you broke the law in one point, you are guilty of it all. Therefore, when your life was in the flesh, your soul was joined unto it. And your soul and your fleshly nature were made one. Those two became one flesh. just like in a marriage, according to Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. And it wasn't until your old man, the flesh, was crucified that your soul could be free to be married unto another man, the new man, the one who does not have the works of the flesh, adultery and all those things, the one who can only work righteousness and righteously. Your soul was joined unto the Spirit of Christ in you, that new creation, at the new birth when Christ was born into your hearts. And the Bible says that he cannot commit sin. You have one nature that serves sin and one nature that serves God in righteousness. One nature that sins willfully and one nature that is righteous willfully. And the Bible says that once the born-again believer has, once the believer experienced the new birth, that's how you became a believer, once Christ was born into your heart, then you are no longer in the flesh with the works of the flesh. Even though your flesh still has those capacities, you are no longer joined unto that nature, which still inhabits your physical body. But you're now joined unto the new man, the Spirit of Christ in you. Therefore, the Scripture says, when the born-again Christian sins, it is no more he that doeth it, but it is the sin that dwells in his flesh. Likewise, when the born-again Christian commits a righteous act, like giving out the word of God, giving the word of salvation into a soul that is lost, and they accept Christ, you can't take glory for that either. To God is the glory. When we commit righteous acts, the Bible says, it is no longer I, but Christ in me. So whether it's sinful, it's the flesh in you, and whether it's righteous, it's the Christ in you. We get no glory. We have no glory. Christ Jesus is the only glory in us. He's Christ in us, our only hope of glory. And the Bible says that once he comes into our life, he becomes our life. So is there any sin in the born-again believer's life? No, because Christ is his life, and in Christ our life is no sin at all. That's the only life that can recommend us unto God. And did you know that once Christ washed away your sins with his own blood, when you believed that he died for your sins and rose again, that you were preserved in Christ Jesus perfect? The Bible says in Jude 1 that we are sanctified by the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus. What are we preserved from? We are preserved from the world, which has corruption in it. We are preserved from our own fleshly nature, which serves the law of sin, and we're preserved from sin. And where are we preserved at? We are preserved in Christ Jesus, in according to Jude chapter 1, verse 1. We are preserved perfect in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ, when he offered himself on the cross, he became our sin offering once and for all. And once we believe in Jesus and say, Heavenly Father, the only works that I have, which gives life unto my faith, are the finished works of the cross. These are the only works that can recommend me unto God. Because by my works, my sin still remains. But it's by thy works, which you have given unto me, that my sins are forgiven. Once we offer unto God by the work of faith, his sin offering, Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ becomes our life, and in him is no sin at all. We are then preserved perfect in Christ. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 14, that once he has washed you in his own blood by the offering of himself, that he has perfected you forever, quote unquote. Hebrews 10, 14 says that he has perfected you forever by the offering of himself once you have believed that Jesus Christ was your sin offering that died and rose again. He has perfected you forever. These are the words of the Bible. These are not my words. The Bible declares you as perfected forever. And now you grow in your perfection unto the perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of Christ Jesus, as you feed upon the word of God. And remember, as a born-again believer, God, Almighty God, is not charging his sins against you, according to Romans chapter 4. We call the blessedness of David. In this new covenant, God is not charging our sins against us. Look in Romans 5, 13, because it says that sin is not charged against you where there is no law, and we are not under the law, beloved. We are under grace. So even though we commit sin, they're not charged against us. we have already been eternally forgiven of our sins. God said, that which I have cleansed, we never to call common nor unclean, and our souls have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and now we are preserved perfect in Christ Jesus until the day of redemption, whereby the Holy Ghost has sealed us into his body in this preservated state. I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News?